I just that one guy that's on Sidroth, can't remember his name, the one that died on the when he was in the dental office and went to heaven. He said that in I forgot how many years we won't have cell phones, computers, or nothing. What are you guys going to do? You'll die. You'll literally die. My grandson said to me, why do you even have a cell phone? I said, well, I really don't like it. I forget to take it with me or I forget to turn it on or whatever. I don't live by a cell phone. I don't have a sticking in my pocket. Who's calling? Who's calling? Who's calling? That isn't even living. You go in the grocery store or go shopping, everybody's talking. You turn around and look, you think they're talking to you, and they're talking their business to somebody else, and you have to listen because you're standing in line. Think about it. What are you going to do when the cell phones are no more? Think about this. We went in a tizzy about the mask. What are you going to do when you can't talk at all? I just want you to stop and think. That's my job, make you stop and think. If you thought that much of Jesus, boy, we would have the biggest revival you ever wanted to see. And don't tell me you're waiting to see if Jesus calls on your cell phone, because he's not going to do that. He just is not going to do that. How many are close to my age in here? Yeah, we didn't have the telephone, did we? Didn't have a telephone. When I was 18 years old, we didn't have a telephone, let alone a cell phone. Well, that was after I got a little bit older. Then there was a party line. You had to wait till the other person was finished with their conversation to get on you so you could use the phone. Do you ever think of that when you see all these cell phones? Or you probably have one too. All these cell phones, what did people do? They went to town, they shopped. Then they come home, and then if they had to talk, they talked. Now you can't even go to town and shop because everybody wants to call you on the phone. You don't call me because I don't carry it. I leave it in the car in case the car breaks down, but I don't carry it in the store. I didn't go to the store to talk to you. I didn't. I went to the store because I have something to do. Right? Well, you know, I have a business. Well, just put your business on hold while you go shop. I just had to say that because this cell phone thing really bugs me. Every place you look, people are going down the road talking on the phone. You know, I don't live by Wi-Fi either. But I do have my little sweeper vacuum that I say go vacuum and it vacuums, all right? I do have that. But I'm not, the reason why I have that, so I'm not chained to a vacuum. They really do work. They do a good job. Oh, yeah. If you don't have one, if you don't have one, you ought to give one. I can be upstairs doing my clean upstairs. It's downstairs vacuuming. Yeah. Father, I just thank you for giving us a peace here before we start your message. I thank you, Father God, that you are a God that knows what laughter is all about, but you're also a serious God. And Father, I just want everybody came out here tonight, I want you to bless them. I want you to do something very special to them tonight and for them. And Father, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think, you know, I keep hearing God say, I'm a triune God. He says that to me over and over and over again. You know, he's a God that can do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it. And I don't know if he's just trying to get me to understand that he wants to do more for me than I have him do or what, but he keeps telling me, I just keep hearing, I'm a triune God. So, you know, think about that too. All right. Well, are you ready for this service tonight? Yes. We're going to talk about prophets. There's many false prophets on the scene right now. Many false teachers on the scene right now. And you have to understand that you have to have discernment to know which is false and which is true. All right. Why do prophets seem unloving? Now, before I start this, if you ever sit and really listen to who the people that prophesy in the church, I don't prophesy like anybody else in the church. My words are totally different than anybody else's. Aaron, when he prophesies a book. Christopher can prophesy from the time you were born to the time you're going to die to you. You know? And others can be just sweet and gentle. But a lot of you really don't want me to talk. And we're going to find out why whenever we do this, all right? I want you to know that I do. I do sit in the seat of a prophet, and I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to explain something to you. When God first called me into the ministry, when I was first saved, he told me I was a prophet to the nations. He didn't tell me that personally till later on, but he did through other prophets. And a prophet came through and he prophesied to me. He said, "You just don't understand the calling that God has upon your life." And I didn't, but I do now, 30 years later. All right, what is a true prophet? A prophet is someone chosen by God to speak for God. Their job, whatever the time period or tidings is, to accurately impart his message. Men and women called to this task come from differing backgrounds, personalities, and levels of social status. But what they all have in common is a heart for God, an anointing to hear from God, and the faithfulness to impart his message to others. Being a prophet is a lonely position because nobody really wants to acknowledge you as a prophet to begin with. But nobody really wants to be around you because they're afraid you're going to know what they're doing. And, you know, it's just a lonely life. So if you don't like being secluded, then don't ask God to make you a prophet. There are prophets, and then there are people who prophesy. And too many people think they're a prophet when all they do is prophesy. All right? I didn't write the scripture down, but in this, Paul said, "I wish that everybody would prophesy." Right? All right. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "Excuse me. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is why I tell you guys need to be in the Spirit. And God said the problem in this church is, and I'm telling you this until he tells me differently, you don't walk in the Spirit. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 said, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Then Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." He didn't say the people prophesy. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" Now, when the prophet whom God has raised up and sent is not heard, and the word is rejected, then the next and last thing is judgment. This is what's going on with America. God has been has sent prophets for years now to America, prophesying to them that they need to repent and turn from their wicked, evil ways, and they have not. And now we've come under judgment. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 said, "And he said, and God said to me, Ezekiel, son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak to you. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, I send you, son of man, to the children of Israel, to rebellious nations that have to rebellious nations that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even to this very day. And the children are impudent and hard of heart. Impotent and hard of heart. I sent you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know and realize that there has been a prophet among you, among them. It says, and they, whether they will hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know and realize that there has been a prophet among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you dwell and sit among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they will hear or refuse to hear, for they are most rebellious. As for you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and on the back, and written on it were words of lamentation and mourning and woe. This is what Ezekiel had to speak to the people. It wasn't peace, 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 and oh, love, 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 and grace, grace, grace. It was lamentation and mourning and woe. All right, from this, we can see that a prophet's words are designed to shock rather than edify. They do edify, but a prophet's words are designed to shock rather than edify. That is the way it sounds and appears, but how many of us can see that the harsh word is uttermost love from God? For a prophet not to have spoken it would have been unloving, if that is what the urgency of the moment requires. I called somebody on the phone yesterday, and I said, are you all right? And I said, for a couple of days now, God's been dealing with me about you. And they said, well, I think I'm all right. And God then said to them, this is a forewarning. Something is coming. Something's going to happen, but I'm forewarning you. But he dealt with me a couple of days before I finally, and it really got really strong. And finally, I called the person and I said to them what God had to say. If you're a prophet, a true prophet of God, God will speak to your heart, and he will tell you things about people. And then he will, and if you don't do something about it right now, like I didn't with this one situation, then God will lay it on your heart so heavy that you finally have to move and do something about it. You know that you have to warn that person or see what's going on with that person before it's too late. All right, then. The prophet is therefore often seen as being horrid, slashing, and shocking. And the most common accusation is unloving. And I've had this spoken to me many, 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 many times over the years that I've been ministering in churches. You're unloving. You're too hard. You're too harsh. Tell that to God, because he's the one speaking through me. It's not me. If we are a true God-called prophet, then we will have to bear all the ridicule that goes along with it. I remember when I first came on the scene, and I was in all the churches around here in Maryland and everywhere, and I went to this one church, and it was a big church, and a lot of pastors always came. And God had me prophesy to these pastors, because that's what God said, I'm going to send you to the pastors, and I'm going to speak to them through you. And these two were sitting there together, man and woman, and you know, and God spoke to them, and they were having an affair. But they weren't married to one, but they were having an affair. And afterwards, the pastor said to me, how dare you say that in public? I said, well, you invited me to come and speak. The people wanted to hear from God, and God spoke. I said, was it the truth? They said, well, I found out later. You know, the man said, yeah, I found out later it was, but you had no right to say that. Well, then don't invite me to your church. You're not going to put a bridle on my mouth and say, don't speak. Just say nice, loving things, because it's not me speaking, it's God, and he always speaks the truth. All right? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said, he was 8 years old at this time. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am only a youth, for you shall go to all, here's what God tells him, for you shall go to all to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Before God can use you, he has to first of all tear you down and then rebuild you and then root you and ground you in his word, and then he can start using you. I remember one time Brother Chris and I went to a church. I forgot where it was anymore, around here somewhere, off somewhere. And I get up there and I said, so many people are putting bishop in front of their names that are not really bishops. I said, God said, you're self-appointed bishops. Half the room got up and left. And these were all pastors. But half the one at half the room wanted, or maybe more. They get up and left. And the pastor who invited me was upset, but he let me go on. And God did a work there too. I never saw so many seats being emptied so fast in all my life as what it did that moment. See, God revealed what they were, before he ever started prophesying, he already revealed to them what they were doing. And they sure didn't want to hear a prophetic word. That's why they get up and they vacated. They sure didn't want God to tell any more about them. Are you listening here? What did I do? I just stood there and kept on letting God use me to speak. Didn't bother me. If you want to leave, leave. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to keep your soul from going to hell. Are you understanding this? I'm not here to ruffle. I'm not here to smooth your feathers. I'm not here to speak nice, sweet words to you. If God has sent me to speak, then he wants me to speak the truth. When I was in Pennsylvania, and I was evangelizing up there, and they held me over because everybody was so excited. And I went to this one church and ruffled the pastor's feathers. You know, God did by telling her the truth. And she spread my name all over the place, and I come home quickly because they canceled me out. All right. She said, she tells the truth. You really don't want her in your church. So I wasn't telling the truth. God was. So what I'm saying is, if you really want to be a real prophet, not just somebody prophesies, then you're going to have to take all the ridicule that comes with it. You're going to have to take all the rejection that comes with it. It's not an easy road. Everybody thinks it's fun, but it is fun working for God, but it's also a lonely path. All right, we know from Scripture that everything has its season. There's a time to pluck and a time to plant. And God was telling Jeremiah it was plucking time, as Nebuchadnezzar was about to overturn many nations. Now in verse 10, the word of the Lord came a second time to Jeremiah, asking him what he saw, and Jeremiah described a seething pot facing the north. The Lord told Jeremiah that from the north, evil was coming upon all the inhabitants of the land of Israel. Great. Who wants to do the bearer of bad news? He had to go and tell these people this bad news. God said that he makes sure his word is performed. And the word at that time was that judgment was coming upon the nation of Israel. And he needed it was an 8-year-old boy he was using to go and tell the people of what was going to happen to them and why. Now, verse 11, God told Jeremiah to man up and get prepared. He was not to be afraid, even though all of Israel, from the kings and priests to the common people of the land, were fighting against him. He was told not to be afraid because God himself would be there right along with him to defend him. A prophet will often send people home jarred and unhappy with many unanswered questions. He will raise questions that they will wrestle with. When I first came on the scene, people called me and said, I don't believe a word you said. I said, throw it in the trash. Just throw it in the trash if you don't believe it. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what the people did with him, but I wasn't going to stand and argue God's word. You know, I forget what God says. And if you don't understand it, well, then maybe it's you need to take it to God and find out from God what God was saying to you. Because God does not lie. He does not. Now, God told Jeremiah, I will put my word in your mouth, and that is what you will speak, and you will speak it in the manner that I want it spoken. I hear too many people prophesying what they think and saying what thus saith the Lord at the end. And God told me years and years ago, he told the people, he had me tell the people, do not say thus saith the Lord if it's not me. And so you very seldom ever hear me saying thus saith the Lord. I just don't even like to use that phrase. So if I was you, I'd be very watchful of what I said. And I'd be very watchful if I put thus saith the Lord on the end of it, when you yourself know that it's not all God. All right. What did God say here this morning? Some of you, and I could feel you pulling on me. You really wanted God to speak to you. And God said, you want a word, but you really don't want to hear it right now. And he's saying to me, they don't want everybody else to hear what I would say to them if I spoke to them right now. Because then I think God said, you have a few things you have to get together. That is a God of grace. That is a God of grace. And really and truly, if you really don't want God to spill the beans on you in front of everybody, then quit wanting a prophetic word. All right? Because he's going to tell the truth. When he started on Barbara, I thought, oh no, what's he going to do now? But I think he gave her a good word. And then I could see her in the political arena. So then I just let God speak about that. Then she informed me that a while back, God said the same thing about politics. And then this was a confirmation that she was going to go into politics. And I can see her with her big mouth. I mean, she's just going to overtalk everybody, and she's not going to let anything slide. She's going to make sure the right thing's done. I mean, she's a political person. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing, Barbara Dodd just said. We need people who can stand on their two feet and say what needs to be said. There's too many wishy-washy people in politics today, and that's why America's in the mess that it's in. So I'm excited. And then whenever Chris does his thing in the politics, I'll get more excited because he says what he feels like saying too at times. Sometimes he says things he shouldn't say. God might be refining that. I don't know. But, you know, I think it's great when God talks to you and tells you what your future is all about. You know, God called me to be an evangelist 7 years before I became an evangelist. And, you know, and God told me right off the bat, you're a prophet. But I didn't prophesy right away. It was in God's timing. Are you understanding all this? And God has told me I'm an apostle, but you don't see apostle in front of my name anywhere. Because God doesn't like titles. So all you want a title, you know, we have reverend because the system makes you have reverend. You have to be ordained, you have to be a reverend. But other than that, who cares what you are? You're supposed to be a humble child of God, a vessel of honor that God can work through. All right. Where am I at here? Your mouth? All right. I'm aware as the prophet's life is totally given over. That's where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. The prophet's life is totally given over to God. You hear me? There is not a surrender of identity It establishes your identity. A prophet loses his life, but he has found it in Christ. You know, it's exciting if you're a true prophet because people do pull on you. And what's exciting about it is that they're really messed up. They're having a problem in their life. And they really need to hear from God because they're too messed up to hear from God. And when they call up, God lays you upon their heart and they call you, then they expect you to be ready to give them a word. And with me, when God gives them the word, it's always a word that exactly what they needed to hear, good, bad, or indifferent. It's exactly what they needed to hear, and it brought them out of that slump that they were in. All right. Sometimes people will call me that I've known for years and they want a word, and God said, I'll say, I'm not hearing a thing. And God said, you're not going to, because they didn't act on the first word that I spoke through you. And they keep wanting me to change the word. And I'm not going to change the word. So you're not going to hear from me for them. So if you don't hear, don't get upset and don't conjure something up, which you think they might want to hear. God's not speaking. I'm not hearing a word. And so you are not to speak anything either. All right. And I tell people that. I said, you just maybe need to go back and do the first thing God's told you to do, because he's not speaking right now. There is a weight of responsibility on God's people to correctly identify whom God has set before them. And there is a choosing. In other words, you have to choose whether I am a prophet or not. The word tells us that rejection of the prophets was the death of Israel. In Jeremiah 23:30, you know, this will witness in your life one day too. People will run me down. I'm talking about pastors. They'll say all manner of evil about me, about what I'm doing, this, that, and the other. But when they need to hear from God, guess who shows up at your doorstep? And guess what? God will tell them exactly what's going on in their life, because God is a God of grace, and he knows that I'm a person of grace too, and I don't carry grudges about what people say about me. I know who I am. That's the important thing. And you can say all manner of evil you want to about me. That doesn't change who I am. And see, this is how you should be working. You should know who you are. And then whenever the devil uses people to try to tear you down, they can't do that, because you already know who you are. You're already grounded in that identity that you are, belong to Christ, and you are called by him, and you are doing a perfect works for him. All right. Now, if I would happen to want something great, would the person in the sound booth be ready to help me? No. Pay attention, please. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. You know, you might get a prophetic word and you might take it to somebody and say, do you really think this is good, true? And they might not like the fact that, I'll just use me, that I prophesied to you, and they said, throw that in the trash, that isn't. She doesn't know what she's saying. And what does God say here about that? Therefore, behold, I'm against a prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. When I was first, you know, started to church, I would go to all the pastor's meetings. And Dr. Bill Hammond was in town. So they said, everybody's a prophet, stand up. So we did. And they said, line up, and we're going to have you go by, you know, Dr. Hammond, and you tell him what God is saying to him. And so I was about sixth or seventh in line. And these people, you know, some were given one or two words, some were given 50 words or 100 words, you know. When it come to me, I said, everybody's already said the same thing over and over again, so I disagree with everybody, because it was true. Everything they were saying is exactly what God told me was going to happen to him. I said, I'm really not going to say anything. And I went and sat down. Why stand there and repeat what seven other people had said in front of you? but everybody behind me, they each had to give their word, and it was all the same word. It is exactly how his life turned out, too. Are you listening? You don't have to get up there and prove that you heard a word for a great man of God, man or woman of God. Everybody else already said it. All right? This is what bothers me, because everybody's standing in that line. Well, most of the people standing in that line wanted to show that they heard too, you know. And I'm not putting anybody down. I think a lot of people were young and had to learn. But I'm teaching you what you shouldn't do. Now, the prophet's function is absolute life and death. If it is a false word, then it could be death. If it does not bring a warning, that then it could also be death, literal physical death. So your prophetic word that you give to a person is life and death to them. Do not speak a lie into somebody's life. Do not. Do not speak the desires of your heart into somebody's life. That's not right. It's not right. And I've heard people say things to people that did not witness to my spirit, but I didn't say anything, because who am I to judge? Well, I should be judging, but I always felt, who am I to judge? They're hearing something I'm not hearing, so who am I to say it's not God? But as it played out, it wasn't God. It was them saying what they desired and not what God desired. And it messed some things up. But, you know, God can fix things, and he will. But don't you be the one who messes somebody else's life up. You need to quit this stuff of wanting to be seen and heard. You need to get rid of your pride. At one of our church services here, you know, I would let anybody get up and speak till I got my head on straight. Found out you don't ever do that. This guy said, I have a word. So I let him give up and give it. He said, I've seen you naked. And where he went with that was ridiculous. And boy, from that was the last time I let anybody get up and speak. That man was so messed up, it wasn't even funny. But then, see, I'm not like Barbara. I just sat there and let him go on. You know, instead of me saying, sit down, I just let him go on and do his thing. And it was a mess. Brother Chris about choked back there laughing because he was there that day. All right, my question to you, what is going on in the world today? People do not want to hear the truth. They want their ears tickled. And Luke 13:34 says, it says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." This was Jesus speaking. "The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." What did Jesus say? "You killed the prophets and stoned those who are sent to her." See, when I first started, you know, all I gave was a bad word. It was a hard word. And, you know, and I would say, please don't stone the messenger. I mean, I'm just letting God use me. And later on, when I got my act together, I thought, why did I even do that? Why did I apologize for God's word? Don't apologize for what God's saying. Don't apologize. If God is saying it, he said it. Now, if you know that you're in the wrong, then you might need to apologize. Well, you should apologize, should repent. But don't apologize for God's word when you know you're yielded totally and completely to God, and the only thing that's being said is what God is saying. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 3 says, "O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return." After the prophet kept talking to them. Jeremiah 18 verse 7 says, "The instant I speak," this is God saying, "the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, that is hopeless, so we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. How many people do you know that God has given them a word, but they didn't like the word, so they said, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it my way. You cannot make them change their mind. If they refuse to listen to the word of God, then they refuse, and they're the one that's going to have to pay the consequences. Jeremiah 46:1 says, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the nations. If you are, who was it that was sent to David whenever he sinned? It was the prophet. God sent a prophet to tell him, you did evil, and now you're going to have to pay the consequences. He didn't go and say, oh, David, I understand you're a man and you let your sex drive overtake you. It's okay, David. He didn't do that. He sent a prophet with a harsh word. And he told him, your baby's going to die because of what you did. And we know that David, he went into fasting and mourning praying until the baby died. And he got up and they said, well, why are you being merry and eating? He said, the baby's dead. Can't do anything about it, so I'm just going to go back to life. All right? But David was hoping that he could change God's heart by fasting and praying, but it didn't work. God has spoken a word of judgment for America. America does not want to hear that they are being judged, but that does not stop God from judging. You know, it really bothers me. It did bother me. You'd had prophets saying that America's being judged. And then here come the prophets saying, oh, but God would never, America would never judge America. This isn't God and this and that and the other. And such a mess it's caused, such a mess. America is being judged now. If you don't believe that, that's fine. But I know that's what God told me before it started. And the people have not relented. And so God is continuing. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God is responding to Solomon's request for forgiveness. He tells Solomon that he will forgive sin and heal the land if the people humble themselves, pray, seek him, and repent. He also qualifies that the people who do this are my people who are called by my name. Now, we know God's been telling us that, and we know there's many, many prayer vigils going on because of that, you know, and doing exactly this, or repenting for America, crying out to God, asking God to lift his hand and show us mercy. And I think that's wonderful. They're calling people to pray, to fast, to do many things. And I hope that other people, that y'all are doing what they're asking you to do. All right, in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2 through 8, we read where the bride is at the point of death and hears her beloved knocking loudly on the door, telling her to get up and open the door because his head is filled with dew and his hair with the drops of the night. In other words, it is pouring down rain. Verse 6, but he doesn't want in. He wants her to come out and experience the rain, and the rain speaks of the blessing of God. All right. But look at the bride's response. You can read this the way the Bible says it when you go home. She whines that she has already taken off her raincoat. Does she really have to put it on again? She has even washed her feet. If she goes outside, they will just get all muddy. She hears him rattling the door handle, and she claims how much she loves him. This is talking about us and how God is trying to woo us, all right? And she claims how much she loves him. She finally gets up, but of course she makes him wait while she gets all gussied up. Finally, she puts her fingers on the handle of the lock. She unlocks the door and opens it to find he is gone. God has departed. She sought him and couldn't find him. She called him and he gave no answer. The watchman of the city then smote her, wounded her, and took away her veil. That's in Song of Solomon 5, verses 2 through 8. I just sort of compressed it, but I didn't want to take time to read the whole thing. God is wooing America. But is America listening? President Donald J. Trump will have a second term, but we have to pray. We have to keep the whole family covered. It's just not going to happen. God has spoken and it will happen, but he told me that our job is to fast and pray for President Donald J. Trump and his family. And this is what we have to do. Why is he coming in for a second term? He's coming in for a second term so God can use him to finish what he started in the first term. And because America is finally going to turn around and repent, that's when the great revival is going to happen. And then God is going to then restore America back to where she should be. But it's going to take 4 more years of Donald J. Trump being our president to see this all come to pass. Woe be it. I don't care who you vote for, but I'm going to tell you, woe be it to those who do not vote for Donald J. Trump, because you're coming against God. And I shouldn't even be saying this, but I said it, and that's the way it is. I don't care if you don't like Donald J. Trump. He is God's man of the hour. He gave you 8 years of your king, and those 8 years where America was brought down low. And now he's going to use his man of the hour. He is using his man of the hour to bring us back up again. I'll be glad when November the 3rd is over, because I am so sick and tired of all the junk on the TV. I just hate it. It's just ridiculous. Where am I at? This is a problem with many in the body of Christ today. Through the prophets, the Lord is calling us to get out of the four walls and join him in the harvest, like we just read. In her current state, the bride is not eagerly awaiting his return. You know, I'm talking about the church. She is not looking out the window expecting him. Not only is the door shut, but it is also locked and barred. Not only won't she go out, but she doesn't even want anyone to come in. You're talking about the church. The bride professes to love him, but it is all talk. This is why Jeremiah quoted the Lord, saying he will only be found when we search him with all our hearts. You hear that? God's just not going to drop on you. You have to search him with all of your heart. I've had many wondrous, glorious experiences with the Father, what he's done to me, but it's because I always searched his heart. It wasn't because I was laying on a bed watching TV or, you know, going down to the corner store getting a soda or something. It was because I was searching for God's heart. You need to know God's heart. This is why there's so much confusion, too, in this, even this election. The church has not sought God's heart about it. Just hasn't. Wade versus Roe is going to be overturned. God told me that before President Donald J. Trump ever was in office. He told me the things that were going to happen. 3 of them happened, and you're going to see Wade versus Roe. You're going to see Obamacare done away with, because God has spoken it, and it shall come to pass. In Zephaniah, we see the Lord searching Jerusalem with lamps and punishing all those who are complacent and believe that the Lord won't do good or evil. In Zephaniah, as I read through the prophets were always given hard assignments. They always had to go out and speak a hard word. All right? So if you're prideful and you want to be seen and known, guess what? You never want to prophesy. All right? Not true prophecy. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord, which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cush, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord." That's what Zephaniah had to go tell the people. And Jeremiah 33:1 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison. I put that scripture in to show you there the prophets were always thrown in prison. Why? Because he spoke the truth. And the people in authority do not like the truth. So do you want to be thrown into prison? If you don't go out there and say, I'm going to be a prophet. Even after experiencing all of God's judgments in Israel and being exiled to Egypt, God's people continue to disobey. God's wrath was not for the purpose of bringing repentance, but judgment. And that prophet that was on, the one that died, that was on Sid Ross said 9-1-1 started America's judgment. He talked about the tree that was there and everything. And America repented for a little while. They went to church. They did good. But then they went right back to their wicked, evil ways. And so God had to bring more judgment. I was told, you better watch what you're saying about God's judging America. Well, you know, you better listen to God's voice. And I'm not saying I'm right. You listen for God's voice yourself. You know? Listen for God's voice yourself. Numbers 12, verse 2. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Better watch what you say, because the Lord heard it. If you're sitting there right now saying, who does she think she is? The Lord heard it. All right. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So your pride, if you're prophesying and you have pride, is I'd watch where it's coming from. Moses was the most humble man on the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. I'm glad I wasn't there that day, right? So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against him and he departed. Now what he did was make her leprous. If you can go ahead and read that on. He punished her for coming against Moses, and that was her brother, right? What does the Bible say about touch not my anointed ones? In Psalm 105, verse 14, he allowed no man to do them wrong. In fact, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And this is talking about the Israelites. God protected them. And the Israelites were his anointed people. And what he said was, he allowed no man to do them wrong. In fact, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Jesus himself was a prophet, and Jesus' high priestly prayer, he says in John 17:8, I gave them the words you gave me. So he was a prophet speaking God's word. Thus, Jesus clearly fulfilled the role of a prophet as he was a spokesman for God. There is a difference between someone who uses the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. Just because someone gives the revelation that delivers a message from God, that act does not necessarily make that person a prophet. Being a prophet is a gift ministry given to a select few by God, whereas the manifestation of prophecy is given to all who become born again and receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Read that again. Being a prophet is a gift ministry given to a select few by God, period. Whereas the manifestation of prophecy is given to all who become born again and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Being a humble is a sign of a true prophet. Now, I hope you've been searching your hearts as you listen to this. Why do prophets seem unloving. It's because God is using them to speak the truth into their life so they don't go to hell. God manifests himself through the prophetic word to let you know where you're at and where he's taking you to. In the years that I've been in the ministry, I've seen too many people hear the word of God for their lives and totally disregard it and try to chew it apart to prove to themselves that that really wasn't God. And God is saying right now that some people who prophesy have a form of godliness but are truly not godly. How many times have I told you to be careful who you have prophesy over you? You need to know the person and you need to know the fruit that they bear before you let them prophesy into your life. I went, when I was first born again, I went to this church and they brought a man prophet in who confessed that he used to prophesy out of his flesh. But yet the minister let him prophesy to everybody in the church. The people were all lined up and they told me, now you make sure you know who he prophesied to because we're going to let you transcribe the tape and we're going to give it to him. Well, I did that. And what they did was the pastor and the assistant pastor, they listened to the prophetic word. They read the prophetic word and said, well, it couldn't be this person. It has to be this person. So the people did not get their true prophetic word because the pastor didn't like this person. No way God could use him to do this. And so they gave it to the one who they liked, and God could really use them to do this. They might have just scrapped that whole thing because they handed out those prophetic words to the person they wanted it to go to. That really bothered me. It still bothers me to this day. I mean, the pastor and the assistant pastor are dead, but that doesn't make a difference. What I'm saying is that ruined a lot of lives that day. It really did. All right, so a person they really liked got a bad prophetic word, so they gave that to a person they didn't like. So that's a person believing that's what God thinks of them. I get very upset when I hear words being given in here that I know that are not truly God's words. Because, you know, if there's a sheep in here, God's going to hold me accountable for that sheep. And he's going to ask me, why did you allow this to happen? I really do admonish anybody that thinks that you are a prophet. Are you really a true prophet called by God? Or are you just a person? And the Bible said that they wish that everybody would prophesy. Are you just a person that God uses to prophesy? This is a very, very critical subject. And as the days go on, the years go on, more and more false prophets are going to come into the land, into the churches. Please, if you're a minister, don't allow false prophets to prophesy in your church. You know, people get mad at me because I don't want you to prophesy to anybody in the church. I don't want you to prophesy to anybody outside the church. But I really get mad at you, too, that you're so hungry and ignorant that you'll let anybody prophesy to you outside the door. When if God really wanted to say something to you, he'd have said it inside the door and not out on the sidewalk. There's many times I've gone out there and I've just gone to my car shaking my head because I hear somebody prophesying to somebody and it's not even from God. But that person's eating every word up. And you haven't even tested the fruit come from that person. Do you understand, you, that it might go out on the street and do street ministry? Well, some of you do street ministry. And you prophesy to somebody and it's just something you think they should hear. How that's going to destroy that person, how it's not going to edify, lift them up. And then what it's going to do to them later on when they find out that that wasn't even God speaking to them. Come on. You know, I've had people call me who's been calling me for years. They used to come to church and they decided not to go to church, but they still call. And then I said, I just don't hear. And they said, well, what happened to you? Did you lose your gifting? No, I didn't lose my gifting. God's just not going to bother with you. I don't say that, but God's just not going to bother you because you set him aside. And now you're trying to pull on a prophet because you're in a bind. And God's not going to get you out of the bind. you're going to have to repent, and you're going to have to get yourself back into the house of God, and then allow God to restore you back into the sheepfold. Are you understanding this tonight? And please, you in here who are ministers, please, please, please heed this warning tonight. It doesn't matter what they think of you. God loves you. And that's all that matters. What does God think of you? Father, I truly do thank you for this serious message tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you want us to understand that not all are prophets. They don't hold the office of a prophet, but all can prophesy. And Father God, I would love for you to work in the hearts tonight and let the people be silent until they get rid of their flesh and get rid of their pride. And then, Father God, raise them up as prophets to the nation. And God is saying right now that he wants to open the altar right now for those of you who want to be a true prophet and not to ever prophesy through your flesh again. If you come up, he will anoint you and he will yank that flesh off of you and get your pride out of you and make you a humble person that he can work through.